We're going to be tonight in 1 Kings chapter number 11. We're going to be looking at that tonight. And I want to share something with us. All of us, as part of life, you know of somebody who may be in a position of authority or a position that you would know them, who did something tragic that maybe ruined. We're fine, Brother Ross. That either ruined their family, ruined their lives, or was just something that came as a shock, right? I've used the illustration before, I won't use it, but, you know, Jared from Subway and Bill Cosby, and there are others. And how many know who Lance Armstrong was? He was a guy that was, he was a motorcyclist. He survived cancer. A bicyclist. And he survived cancer, and after he survived cancer, he won the Tour de France, which is their big race, 7 times in a row. And there was a lot of doping scandals and drug scandals, and he swore up and down for years that he never took performance-enhancing drugs, and then, of course, it came out that he did the whole time. He was just lying, and he was smearing people. You look in the Bible, there are people that made mistakes. King David, he made the mistake with Bathsheba. Samson was the strongest guy that ever lived. He was a one-man wrecking crew, a one-man army, and yet he could not stay away from women. We think of Demas, who served with Paul and traveled with Paul, and he quit so he could go into the world. I could, and I won't, I could give you a lot of examples of people I know, maybe people I went to college with or people I know that served others in the ministry, and they did something horrific, and they ruined their lives, and they messed up. And by the way, you know, we whenever that happens, if it happens in our type of church, people like to blow that up, but I could give you a lot more stories in other churches. It's just a flaw of mankind. That if we're not careful, that can happen to us. I remember when I was a new Christian, I heard a story about someone I respected well, a pastor, a very well-known pastor, and I respected him, and I was a brand new Christian, and he did something bad and lost the church and lost his family, and it discouraged me. But then I thought about it, it's like, you know, I can't control that, but when I hear of something like that, it makes me think about myself. That I can't control what others do, but I better make sure that I walk right. And I better make sure that I stay right. And we're going to see that tonight. We know the story of King Solomon very, very, very well. Solomon was a tremendous man. He was a product of the grace of God in the lives of David and Bathsheba. He was the first of David's family that would rule the throne. God gave him an opportunity we would all love to have, right? God came to him and said, tell me what you want. You can ask for anything, and I'll give it to you. And he said, I want to have an understanding heart so that I can lead God's people. And God said, that was a good answer. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for prosperity. And I'm going to give you all of those things in addition to the wisdom to be the king that I want you to be. God used Solomon in a great way. He built the temple. He wrote the book of Proverbs. We've been teaching for it a long time, and several years ago, I taught on it for several years. He wrote the book, the Song of Solomon, the book of love. He brought peace and prosperity to the kingdom. So he was a great, great man. But what we don't realize a lot of times is his life did not end very well. At the end of his life, he had a lot of struggles and a lot of issues. Got to the point where God had to pronounce a judgment to him in the kingdom. Look at verse 11 there, in 1 Kings chapter 11 there. He says, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it unto thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. He said, because of these things you have done, and we'll look at some of them briefly tonight. He says, I'm going to rip the kingdom from you. You're not getting all the tribes. And you're going to lose it because of the things that you have done. I did not mention on purpose, he also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, and you could really call it the autobiography of a fallen wise man. Solomon, who had everything, and he fell. And that's why if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, That's particularly the first part of it. You get kind of confused there, like, what is going on here? What's he talking about? He's making life sound discouraging, like nothing is worth living for. That's because Solomon had changed. And he does give good advice later on in the book. Now, whenever we think about making mistakes in our life and doing things that dishonor God and doing things that would hurt our family, you know, we always think that we are the exception to the rule, right? That happens to other people, but that would never happen to me. Well, Peter thought that too, right? The disciples thought that. Jesus said, you're all going to forsake me. Like, no, 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 not us. They did. What does the Bible say? Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. God says, whenever you get to the point where you think that you're fail-proof, you're in trouble. If Solomon can fall, so can we. We tell converts and new people, like, read a proverb every day. It's the book of wisdom, written by a man that didn't even live everything that he wrote. If he can fall, can't we? Shouldn't we be very, very careful? As I look to this chapter, I see how Solomon fell. I see some principles. Now, I'm looking at the clock here, and these are going to be quick. Like this morning, there was a lot, and I just kind of read through the chapter and gave you some thoughts, and I'm going to do that tonight. But I see 10 things that caused Solomon to fall. The first one is this. He fell through his loves, what he loved. Verse 1 said, but King Solomon loved. And we're going to see the things he loved. But what happened is where his problem started is he changed the things that he loved. He started loving things that were out of bounds. We'll look at that in a minute. What was important to him, what his desires were, and we'll get all through all of that. They changed. He loves many strange women. His love was out of bounds. If you want to love your wife, that's great. If you want to love a lot of women, that's wrong. That's from God. For most people, we have a love and we don't keep it under control. And if we don't keep our emotions and our affections under control, they very easily can sway and get out of bounds. Some people used to love spiritual things. They don't love spiritual things anymore. You know why? Their love has shifted. And now it's not only shifted from that which is right, it is shifted to that which is wrong. Well, you know, Pastor, it's my life. I can do what I want. I just want to live my own life. That's fine. But like Solomon, you also will pay the price. So our loves, we have to make sure that the love we have is proper. Don't let your emotions take you out of control. Our heart is so easily attached to the wrong thing. That's why we tell our teenagers and our young people, we don't believe in teenage dating. They're not young enough to understand a good relationship. They're not smart enough and emotional enough to understand the right person. I doubt most people in their 20s do. I'm being facetious there. But the problem is, they'll get their heart hooked to somebody, and that person will expose themselves for being the wrong person, but once their heart is attached, game, set, match. And so we got to be careful that, what does the Bible tell us in Proverbs? Guard your heart, because if not, you're going to have trouble. God has set the boundaries of our love, right? He told us very specifically what we should love. He said we are to love God. That's an easy one. And by the way, loving God isn't a bumper sticker. Loving God isn't just mouthing it every now and then. Loving God is something that is seen in our life. When you love somebody, you will adjust your life for that relationship. It's not just saying, I love God, then you go do your own thing. No. God says we're to love him. He says we're to love others. That's what Friend Day is about, is it not? That's what sharing the gospel is about, is it not? It's about the ultimate love for others, that we want them to meet and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. We want them to be born again. That's the ultimate expression of love. But the same God that tells us what to love tells us what not to love. We're not supposed to love ourselves. Now, we do love ourselves, but not to the extent where that love for ourselves transcends our love for God. Right? And he also tells us we're not to love society, love not the world. That's why we struggle in our love for God, because if we're not careful, everything that's striving for our attention around here, if we're not careful, our heart gets connected to it, and those are the things of the world. And the Bible tells you can't love the world and you can't love God either. Read the book of James. He tells us that. He tells us not to love our sin. He tells us not to love pleasure. Boy, if that doesn't describe our society, what does? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's not wrong with doing things we like sometimes, but when we start to just become disattached from God, we'll love that and we'll give it too high a priority in our life. And so, how did Solomon fall? His love went out of bounds. And that led to the second one. He fell through lust. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, strange doesn't mean they were like, you know, they had mental deficiencies. They were strange in the sense that they were not part of God's plan for his life, first of all. If you read Proverbs and it says, beware of the strange woman, you know what that means? Anybody, any lady that's not your wife. Or if you're a lady, every husband, every man that's not your husband. But these were strange women that were out of bounds for him. He shouldn't have had them. They weren't for him. And some of them were of the wrong nation. God had told them very specifically, don't intermarry with the different nations. And I'm going to explain why in a little bit. He told him that. But you know what? It was very easy for him to write that off. You know why? Because his lust was in control. She's cute. You know, after all, if one is good, two are better. And at what point do you stop? His love got out of balance, so now he's following his lust. That's our problem. That's why our love needs to be so focused on God. Because you've got to have something that will rebuke your lust, not give into it. Because that's what we're doing. We're allowing our desires, which a lot of our desires are through the flesh, and so they naturally are going to gravitate towards that which is wrong. And so we need to be very, very careful. Let me say this. Don't settle for a Christianity, and it is everywhere, that gravitates towards the lust of the flesh. You want me to share a thought with you? I said, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'll tell you exactly about someone I know well. I won't give their name. They probably wouldn't care if I did. But many years ago, they were inviting someone to our church that they were working with. And the person said, I'll go to your church, but first you have to go to my church. Now, I would not do that. But this person said, I'll do it. And he went to one of these new, super, uber cool Christian churches, you know. And they had their little worship group out here, ladies in tight pants and tight clothing and revealing clothing, singing about Jesus. And so when the service was done, the guy came up to him and said, hey, what'd you think? You think you'll come back to my church? And he said, you know what? He goes, it was hard for me to think about God when I was seeing those ladies up there moving around dressed inappropriately. He goes, I had a hard time, something like this. I had a hard time thinking about God, didn't you? And the guy, to his credit, said, yeah. Aren't we supposed to be here to think about God? But we want to make it so that people can come in, and it's like no difference than going to a movie theater. It's no difference than being out at where people in the world don't know anything about God. And it's just nothing but fill your desires. Do what you want to do. And so our lust gets out of control. And so what we try to do is we try to get a Christianity that will allow us to let that get out of control. And when it gets out of control, you're going to see what happens here to King Solomon. It happens to everybody else. Number three, we're doing good. He fell through his rebellion. He loved many strange women, verse 2, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. And then in verse 10 he goes, and has commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. See, what happened is this. God said, you do not get hooked up with the, they were coming into the promised land. He goes, you stay away from these nations around there. Goes because they had a lot of false gods, and these, and I'm going to mention some of the gods in a minute and what their worship involved, and you'll see why. God said, what's going to happen is if you start going amongst them, you're going to intermarry with them, and then you're going to start disobeying me. That's just how it works. It's like a lady that says, well, I met this guy, but he's not a Christian, but he's a decent guy. Or I met this girl, and she's not a believer, and she's not a Christian, but she's a good person. You have nothing in common. And someone's going to change. And you know who usually changes? The Christian. Because the other person, if they don't know Jesus, they're not saved, they're not going to respond to the Word of God. They're not going to respond to the Spirit of God because he's not prompting them. He's prompting them to salvation. But they fell through their rebellion. Started when he married one of the Egyptian princesses. No Christian, we should be very careful that we do not get involved in things that are going to cause us to live in rebellion to God. And that's just it. When we choose, this is what I want for my life, and I'm going to do this, and God maybe says no, but I'm going to give God a little bit of time still, but I'm just going to still do my own thing. The Bible has a word for that. It's called rebellion. And as he told Saul, it's rebellion and witchcraft. He equates rebellion with Satan worship. You know why? Because Satan worship is basically when you become your own God. That's in Genesis. And so when I'm deciding what's right and wrong for my life, or what I will listen to that God says, or what I won't listen to, I am my own God, I'm living in rebellion, and that's witchcraft. I have now become my own God. And so be very, very careful about that. None of us will be perfect, right? But our goal should be to try to do everything that God says and trust what he says. You know, you look, but I saw him looking around, but you know, what's the big deal about this? You know, I can marry her, she's numbered 75, but she's a princess, it'll help the kingdom and all this stuff, because God said no. That's why. And he should have trusted that God knew what was best. Because we allowed his love to get out of bounds, his lust to gain control, and so now he rejected everything that God said. Number four, he fell through change. Verse 2. At the end of verse 2, he says there, for surely, talking about these different nations and intermarrying with them, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel. Did you catch that? God said, don't do it, they'll turn your hearts away. And a couple verses later, after he did it, it says that they turned his hearts away. At that, so Solomon was totally now doing what he wanted to do. He changed. He wasn't the person that he used to be. He didn't plan on that. He thought, I'll just bring them into the harem. They'll just be part of the thing. I'm still a king, and I've got wisdom, and I'll do these things. And he probably thought in his heart, I'll never change. I'm just doing things that are a little bit different. But God said you'd change. And that is true today. When we start giving into our love and our lust and this rebellion and all this stuff, we will change. We'll start going the wrong direction. I've been doing this, working in church for a very, very, very long time. And I know many people over the years, they were doing good and things were going well in their life and everything was good and they were following God and something happened. And you look down the road now, and it's a train wreck. But you know what never starts with a train wreck? You know the thing about that change? It's always super slow. You want me to be real honest with you? I'm trying to be respectful here. They don't leave God. They'll just leave this church. They'll go to some big church in Orange County or over in Cyprus or some unnamed chapel or some nondescript church like, you know, the Branch or the Living Water or the Dead Cock. I don't know. But it's an easy step from there to somewhere else. See, the reason they go there is because it's a small change. I don't want someone that's actually, I'll go some, and by the way, and let me just explain myself. I'm not trying to be mean. The churches I'm thinking of, and I know a lot of them, I know their doctrinal statements. I know what they believe, and it's not right. That's why the lifestyle that they would espouse is wrong, because they don't have proper doctrine. It's all about doctrine. Read it. And so they go, they're like, I'm not going to completely, you know, but I just want to go over here where they'll let up. Less commitment, less service, less truth, more freedom. They won't like it, and you'll be out the door, and you'll be doing whatever it is you want. Once you start to change, it doesn't stop. It's once you start heading downward, unless you just understand that you've made a mistake and like, let me stop the train before, you know, it gets off the rails, you usually don't. Solomon would never have thought that the things that we're going to mention here, he would have ever done when he started this nonsense, and God said, don't do that. And he brought him in, and everything was okay for a while. Isn't it always okay for a while? I mean, come on, the wheels haven't fallen off the car, but give it a little bit of time. And you know what happens? The wheels go off the car, and the wheels went off of his car. We have to be very careful about that. That's why God says, be careful. I mentioned already, be careful about your heart. Number five, he fell through compromise. Says, Solomon clave unto these in love. God wanted complete commitment from him. God wanted him to follow his way completely, but for these women, and some of it was political, I understand that. Some of it would help him in the kingdom, and I understand that. But come on, it's like Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's like, I can't have kids. Why don't you go into Hagar? I'm pretty sure she looked pretty good. It wasn't a hard sell, right? Well, after all, you know, maybe Sarah's right. And that's what's going on here. But then he clave unto these. His commitment level was gone. They were more important than God. This thing I'm doing in my life is more important than God. God desires commitment. And by the way, let me say this. People are committed. Come on. You know, they'll say, I just don't think that, you know, let's not talk about politics and religion. I think it's just a personal belief, and it kind of, it's like, but if there's something else you like, you're totally committed to it, right? Your sports teams, your hobbies, other things. You are all in on those, and you'll talk about it to everybody, but if someone mentions God, you have a seizure because you don't want people to know. We can be committed. The problem isn't that people won't commit today. The problem is people won't commit to the right things. We'll readily commit to the wrong things. And when a Christian knows what is right and decides to do wrong, they're compromising because they know what's right. He fell through his appetite, number six. Okay, so I understand. He's going to marry strange women, okay? So let's do the math here, verse 3. And he had 700 wives. I struggle with one. Are you with me? Maybe it sounds good. This wife will be the cute wife. This wife will be the chef. This wife will be the cleaner. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's like, where is it going to end? Once it starts, where's it? 300 concubines. Those are called substitutes. You know, relief pitchers. That's, let me do the math. It's 1,000. Why? Once he started going out of control, his appetite was out of control. He wanted the wrong thing, and he had a taste of the wrong thing. And so what happens? He went all in for it. Be careful. Get an appetite for God. Get a desire for God. And whenever you feel that something is starting to cut into that desire, stop it right away. Because what happens is you'll change that desire, you'll change that appetite for things that aren't spiritual, and then it starts to grow and grow and grow. And it's like the little thing in the cartoon with a little snowball, and you throw it down the hill and it rolls down the hill and it gets bigger. I don't even know if that's possible. But the snowball effect, that's what happens. And so now you said, no, I love God. I just want to do these few things here. And the ball starts to roll because your appetites get changing now. And you want more, and you want more, and you want more. And you're way down the road, and you got that big snowball coming down the mountain. Watch your appetite. Keep your appetite under control. You see, that's the difference between us and animals. Animals just go by their instincts. If they feel it, that's what they go for. We're humans. We're not animals. Okay? I don't care what the evolutionists say. We're not animals. We control. We're supposed to control those things. And if the Spirit of God indwells in us and we'll strengthen that spirit, we'll be able to control those things. Next, and I'll explain this one. It's going to sound weird. He fell through his spirituality. Verse 4. And it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Huh, isn't that what God said? And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. It was, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. This is the guy that built a temple for God. Now he's being places of worship for these false idols. And by the way, these weren't just false idols. They were bad. Ashtaroth was the female goddess of sex. Every perverted form of immorality was involved in the worship of Ashtaroth. Kind of sounds like our society today, aren't we? Aren't we bowing at the altar of immorality? Milcom was also Molech, the goddess of the Phoenicians, to which infants were sacrificed. By the way, do you know Milcom and Molech still have temples to this day? They're called Planned Parenthood. They're called the Democratic Party. Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Then don't listen. At their convention, they had portable places where ladies could get abortions right outside the clinic. That's why I said it. It's killing babies. Because the first god is immorality. And you know what happens when you're immoral? You get pregnant. So what do? You kill the baby. Well, what about a woman's choice? She has a choice. Here's a choice, whether or not to get pregnant. That baby has its own DNA. That baby is a separate entity, and the mother is just carrying it to birth, and she has no right to kill it. She should have never got pregnant in the first place. But we sacrifice to that god all the time. Chemosh, or Baal, was a god whose worship involved all kinds of immoral practices. Fact of the matter is, Baal was a statue with arms that they would heat to hot. It was hot. And while they were having an immoral worship service, they'd sacrifice a baby on that hot arms. You see, you wonder why God was so hard on the nations that Israel drove out. That's because this is who they worshiped. And here, now that's not the point. We know that's all bad. Of course, I hope you do. Here's the point. Solomon started building places to worship these gods. Can you imagine that? The true God, the God he built a temple for, the God that came to him personally and said, what do you want? Down the road, he did this. People change their spirituality all their time. You're trying to take your sin, we'll take our sin, if we're not careful, and we'll try to make it okay through our belief system. I've had people try to defend abortion through the Bible. Transgenderism through the Bible. You say, well, that pastors who try to defend drinking through the Bible. What are we doing here? I mean, you have a Bible, instead of cherry-picking a verse and misinterpreting it, in fact, making it say something it doesn't say, why not read the whole Bible? Why not get everything God says? You know, I would believe all this stuff too, except I read the New Testament. And so you got to be very careful. You'll start to believe, and by the way, when I say you, I'm including myself. If we get out of bounds with this stuff, we'll start to believe things we never thought we would have believed. We'll start to defend things that we never thought we would defend. Got to be careful. Number eight, we're almost done. He fell through his apathy. His apathy. Verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. Wow. And went not fully after the Lord. You know, he just wasn't into it anymore. He had other things going on. He had his other worship. He had this other nonsense. And God, who cares? I'm not going to wholly go after him. Apathy gets into us, doesn't it? You know, I've been to church. I remember when I'd first go to church, the pastor would get up, open your Bibles to the book, and I'm like, yes, I've never heard a message out of that book. Right? I'd say, hey, turn to this. I've never heard someone preach about that story. It was all new to me. You know what? You can open the Bible anywhere, any place. I've heard thousands of sermons. Open it up to this. I've like been there, done that. But it still has great truth. In fact, sometimes I'll see that truth and it's like, man, I wish I would have saw that, okay? That could have been my message. It's like, I didn't catch that thing. It's like, that's good. And sometimes we just need a reminder, okay? Doesn't Paul tell them in some of his epistles, keep them in remembrance of these things? We know them, but sometimes we just need let's go. Let's keep going. But we get apathetic. I just don't want to hear it anymore. I know. You need people to work in the nursery. I put my time in. I know. I could be singing in the choir, but come on, I did that before. Right? I know. Everybody should park at Blue Line, but, you know, after all, I have a nice, you know, we all park at Blue Line when we had the Junkers. What? No one stole, I shouldn't say this, like no one's stolen a car from there yet. Guarantee you next week someone's car's getting jacked, okay? But come on now. You know, I know, I used to teach Sunday school, but, you know, I'm retiring after all. I've been doing it for years. I'm 32. Wow, how's that Social Security check working? It's, you know what that is? That's apathy. I don't want to be apathetic. As I get older, I hope that I'm leveling up, not leveling down. But he was apathetic. Next, he fell through his forgetfulness. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. I have never had God appear unto me once. I mean, he appears in the Bible, right? But before the Bible was written, he spoke to some people. He appeared to Solomon twice. I would have loved to have been there. Actually, no, I would have been scared to death, okay? Has he forget that God came to him personally? How do you forget that and build a place of worship for a godless, immoral, child sacrificing false god? We talked about that this morning. Have we forgotten what he did for us in the past? Man, I never want to forget that. Has God been good to you? Well, man, you know, Satan's really good at getting us to forget that, right? Children of Israel, he took them out of slavery, he took them out of bondage. Yeah, but we ate cucumbers. I hate cucumbers. I'm allergic to them. It makes my mouth itch. You know? It makes it sound like living in Egypt was like the biggest buffet in the world. It's a lie. And then lastly, and I'm done. Look at that. 10 points, regular time. It's all good. He fell through his selfishness. Verse 12. Notwithstanding, in thy days, he's talking about ripping the kingdom away. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Did you catch that? Who was going to pay for his disobedience? Rehoboam. When Solomon is gone, the nation splits. And by the way, they got the smaller portion. Now, they got the portion with the temple, and those kings did a little bit better. But you know, from then on, it was constant war back and forth. Constant drama all the time. Can I just say this? If you're going to stay right with God, can you just do it for one reason? Your children. Can you just do it for one reason? The next generation. We are so, my life, then you shouldn't have children. I want to do what I want. You shouldn't have got married. You're like, I know, I agree with you. No, that one I should. Come on now. It's not about you anymore. Those little ones look up to us. Don't you want them to do well? Don't you want them? That's why we're all about the next generation. That's why we're not going to do anything, I was going to say dumb. We're not going to do anything lowering anything while I'm here. Because I don't want to be the one to sow the seeds of destruction for your children and for your grandchildren and for my grandchildren. That's selfish. Well, what about my needs? Why don't you get a close relationship with God, clean up everything in your life, enjoy being with your family, enjoy worship, being in church and serving in the church, and get on board with that. Amen. Instead of dawdling and all this other little nonsense. It bothers me. Yes, I'm just going to say it. It bothers me. How can we do that to our children? Aren't they important? Well, Pastor, I take them to Disneyland. That's $250. Okay. Did you have a good time? Yeah, great. But that's not going to reach the next generation. That's one day. Remember years ago, we were supposed to like take a little trip after Christmas, you know, for a couple days. We're going to go to Arizona. I'm thinking, that's too far to go. I don't want to go. So I told him, you know, trying to talk to girls and my wife, you know, I was like, they're like, okay, Dad, we won't be upset. Take us to Disneyland for one day. I'm thinking one day, 3 days, 11 miles, let's do it. 2 days after Christmas, there were lines just to walk through that place. Now, they had a Starbucks, so I spent a lot of time in there. I'm like, what was I thinking? It's crowded. And we were there when it first opened and we left when it closed. And I'm like, I hope you enjoyed that. I'm never going back. And you know what? We had a good time, I think, once we got through the lines. But that's not going to make a difference 20 years from now. That's not going to keep them spiritually fit. Come on, let's think about the next generation. Solomon blew it for the next generation. And so here's the point. I've been getting on Solomon all night, and rightfully so, but he was the wisest man that ever lived for a while. He was a great king for a very long time. He did do a lot of really good things. But success today doesn't guarantee success tomorrow. We got to be careful. Let's be careful. You say, Pastor, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I love God. I know. And by the way, you're in a good place. But you have to keep your guards up constantly, right? Because there's always stuff coming right at you. And it's like, I got to rebuke this here. Satan's so good at just slipping little things in, and it's kind of coming our way. And we got to say, wait a minute. Got to block it out. You ought to make it your goal that, you know, like I mentioned this morning, till death do us part. In serving the Lord. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to fight the fight. I'm going to keep the faith. That's what God wants. But we have to be very careful. We live in a time of loose Christianity. We're not careful. And I don't want us to pay for that. Let's stand together this evening. If we can bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute, please. Thank you. I went a little bit faster here. And you listened really, really well. I hope I didn't come across as mean-spirited. That's not my goal. Some things do irritate me, killing babies and other things. But more than that, I want us to be careful. I want you to be careful. I've been serving God for a long time, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, and he has never led me wrong. I'm not the perfect one in the relationship. He is. But I want to be careful that I get there. And I know better Christians than me, that have struggled with things. And I always just say, Steve, just, I better be careful. Better keep my guard up. Better make sure I don't let something slip into my life. Because it can. Oh, yes, it can. If it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to me. One difference is God gave it to us so we can learn. How are you doing tonight? You slipping a little? Or do you sense some things? A lot of times we can sense it in that, you know, I'm just not where I was spiritually a while ago. I think I've slipped a little bit. I wanna strengthen it. I wanna get my resolve back. I wanna get back to doing what I need to be doing. Maybe you just wanna come here and say, Lord, I'm doing what I need to be doing. Lord, I love you, and Lord, help me and protect me so that I keep going for the rest of my days. Piano's gonna play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Why don't you come tonight?